sword, sir. Thank you, Jared. I'm glad y'all are here tonight. I think some of our folks forgot we have service on Sunday evening. But bless your hearts for being here. We talked about the resurrection this morning. It couldn't have been a resurrection unless there had been a death. And the death of Christ was on Calvary's cross. There were a number of different people, what we say, beneath the cross. And before I forget, Lemoyne called me this afternoon. This is off the lesson, but Lemoyne called me this afternoon. I forgot to tell Frank that Hannah Wiley had gone back into the hospital this afternoon with another stroke. So please be sure and keep them in your prayers. And I'm sorry I forgot to make that announcement made to Frank, but just in the process of getting things ready this afternoon, I just slipped my mind, but just wanted to let you know that she had gone back, and she's in Good Shepherd. I don't know what room. Maybe still in the ER. But back to the lesson. There's a number of people at what we would call the foot of the cross, beneath the cross of Jesus. We sing that song, "Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand." What were the attitudes of the people that day? Have you ever thought about those folks? You see a hill, Golgotha, strategically placed, a spot visible from even a great distance. Because the Passover celebration, there were a lot of people in that area that wouldn't normally be there, and a lot of people were passing by as they went from place to place. Scripture in Matthew 27:39 said those that passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads. For many of those folks, the cross really made no impression. Jesus was just another common criminal being crucified on a cross, as the Roman army was prone to do for criminals of that day. Many pass by the cross today in like manner. When we think of the cross, when we take the cross into our minds and we consider what Jesus did and that scene on Calvary, we, in fact, are at the foot of the cross, at the cross of Jesus. Matthew 27:18. John 11:48. Acts 3:17 and 1 Corinthians 2:8 describe attitudes of people who were there at that day. The attitudes that motivated people to holler, crucify him, and to take part in that as spectators or even as soldiers, in fact, nailing him to the cross, crucifying him. Matthew 27:18, for he knew that it was for envy that they had delivered him. John 11:48, if we let him alone like this, everyone will believe him, and the Romans will take away both our place and the nation. The Jews were afraid of Christ. They were out to preserve self and preserve position. Acts 3:17, yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as your rulers did. Peter's voice in his sermon on the day after Pentecost. 1 Corinthians 2:8, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for they had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Ignorance. They knew the scriptures, but they were ignorant as far as what really was to become of the Messiah when he came on the scene. They didn't understand. They weren't dumb or stupid. They just were ignorant of what the scriptures had told them all those years. We have our sins, and our sins paid a price in the crucifixion. We weren't born yet. We weren't on the scene yet. We weren't physically there. We hadn't sinned before the fact, but did God know we were going to sin? We talk about this often. God knew that his people were going to sin. His creation would be a sinful bunch. And because of that, Jesus had to come and be the sacrifice. 1 John 1, 3, and 4, Romans 3, 23, 1 Corinthians 15, the first three or four verses, Acts 2, verse 36 through 38, time after time after time tells us that humankind sins. Paul, in fact, in Acts or Romans 3, 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because of that, the bottom line is we're guilty of killing Jesus just as if we were there that day and nailed him to that cross because of our sin. Do the attitudes that killed Jesus still exist today? Absolutely. Same attitude, the same way of looking at Christ, the same way of looking at the cross, whether it be self-preservation, envy, ignorance, all still exist today. There were scoffers and mockers there. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and verse 40. Matthew 27, verse 40. Those who were scoffing and mocking Jesus as he hung on a cross, bleeding, in no telling how much pain, hard to breathe, suffocating, as crucifixion was about. They're saying to Jesus, "You who destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others. He said himself he cannot save. If he's the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. For he said, I am the Son of God." He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In verse 49, the rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. Absolute mocking. What a disgrace. But they did it from ignorance. Well-educated religious people mocking the Son of God as he hung on the cross. They had a different idea about the Messiah. I'm sure that they had the Messiah figured as a physical king to oversee a physical army, to oversee a physical kingdom in this world. They just didn't get it. They didn't understand it. And today, though, many continue to ridicule and insult Jesus and his followers, mocking, scoffing. Well, that's just a blind leap of faith in the dark. That's all that is. They don't get it. They still don't get it. So you know, you can be too smart to understand faith, evidently. How do we mock Jesus today? By not acknowledging the simple truths and the total teachings that he taught while he was here in his ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, heed the warning, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because of their itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. Really? Yes, really. Does it happen today? It's happened. It's happened from the garden until now. Think about it. Did Adam and Eve decide that they would rather listen to the serpent than to God? Sure. Serpent said, no, you can eat that fruit. God said, no, you can't. Tickling of the ear said, I'd rather eat the fruit than not. So they believed the serpent. Today, folks, if they want to be taught something, they can find someone to teach it. And it still happens. Matthew 7:21, not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, but enter the kingdom of heaven. We talked about that this morning. And they'll say, well, didn't we do such and such in your name? Didn't we do all these wonderful things in your name? Jesus will say, I never knew you. Sincerely religious people mock Jesus by practicing lawlessness. And I'm sure they're sincere. I don't doubt that folks are sincere. Scriptures don't doubt the sincerity. They're calling on the name of the Lord out of sincerity. They have good hearts. They're just not doing it in the way he says is right way. Not doing it according to Scripture. The zealous. Paul talked about the zealous. My countrymen are zealous, but not according to knowledge. Romans 10. They have a great deal of zeal for God, he says. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. A majority of people are that way today. No different than the first century. The bottom line, again, there'll always be scoffers and mockers. They'll never stop. We don't need to ignore or neglect or be ignorant of the total teaching of Christ. Peter said that very thing. He said, scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Well, if he's promised to come, where is he? Oh, he's coming. He's coming. There were unconcerned and indifferent folks that day. Soldiers crucified him, divided his garments, Matthew 27. Not thinking about what they were actually doing. You know, the historical value of the folks who were standing there that day went totally by them. They had no concept of what was taking place, a lot of them. The unconcerned and indifferent. Surely we can become desensitized to sin, and no doubt some of those folks were. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, now it's expressly or the Spirit expressly says, in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own consciences seared as with a hot iron. We can sin so much that nothing else makes sense. Nothing else is appeasing to us. Nothing else pleases us but to sin if we're not careful. We've learned that over the years through study of Scripture. And our lifestyle is a reflection of indifference or lack of concern. If we have a lifestyle of indifference and lack of concern, it shows it. If that's our attitude about Christ, it shows. A few examples. Those that are lukewarm, spoken of in Revelation chapter 3. Those who be lazy, the lazy servant, spoken of in Matthew 25. Worldliness, Matthew 32, or 23 rather. Those who have left their first love, Revelation 2. The disobedient, those who have not known God or not obeyed God. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 and 8. These people still exist today. It will always be that way. And the bottom line to all that is, those who don't care will care on judgment. Come the resurrection we talked about this morning, they'll care. It'll be too late, but they'll care. Doesn't the Scripture say that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Sure it does. Remember that Fram oil filter commercial? I always think of that when I think about that verse. There was a Fram oil filter commercial years ago. And the announcer after the commercial, at the end of the commercial, says, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. Now, the idea, you can buy the Fram oil filter now or you can pay me to repair your car later when the other oil filter don't work right. That's the gist. The same thing here. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Christ, the Son of God, now or later. But they will bow and confess. Better now than later. We'll be held accountable. There were no doubt some convicted folks. Their faith actually surpassed the others. They had more of a genuine faith and belief and trust in Jesus being the Messiah. And they were present that day, Mary and John, Jesus' mother and his apostle. Others no doubt were there and understood this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. Scripture is being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. What a day that must have been for the believing bunch. What a day. The centurion, remember him when Matthew 27, verse 54, when the centurion and those with him, there were others with this centurion, other officers, I guess, or other members of the Roman guard, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. They believed. It might have been a little too late, but they believed. Many saw the miracles, heard his teaching, walked with him, listened to him, and still didn't follow. John chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. They were more concerned about their position, more concerned about not being kicked out of the temple. What a shame. People like that today. They're more concerned about position, standing in the community, stuff, worldliness. More concerned about those things than... Well, in fact, they're a lot like Thomas. Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 29, and then at verse 31, Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Remember what Thomas says, I'm not going to believe unless I can stick my hand in his side. He got the opportunity and he believed. But how shameful that we can take this information and read it and study it, and as old as it is, it's never been proven wrong. It's always been shown to be right. When science comes up with something new that they've learned, it comes right back down to agreement with the Scriptures. Isn't that amazing? And in spite of all that, how many years has this book been around and people still choose not to believe it? They choose other ways. Or they choose to read it and then twist it to their own liking. No different than Thomas. No different than others that have scoffed and mocked at Jesus before. Bottom line, again, we ought to take every opportunity to believe, study and believe God's word. There were some loving folks there, family and friends of Christ. They followed Jesus to the cross, again, Mary and John and the others. Many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were looking from afar. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons, Matthew 27. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. God's spiritual family is always close to the cross, always. Do you feel close to the cross every day? I hope you do. We should. We should feel a kinship to that cross, because without that cross, without that crucifixion, where would we be? Sad shape, very sad shape. Without a physical heart, we cease to live. Without the cross, Christianity ceases. It ought to be an integral part of our daily life, that reflection on the cross that took the life of Jesus. Everyone's passing by the cross of Christ daily. We pass by it, each and every one of us. At some point, hopefully you think about Jesus at some point every day. Maybe you said something you shouldn't have said. Maybe you didn't do something you should have done. Maybe you got a blessing and thought, thank you, Lord. But we pass that cross every day. So what's our attitude? What class of people do we fit in today? Mockers and scourgers? Surely not. Scoffers? Surely not. Unbelievers? No. They're not here this afternoon. They're somewhere else. Jesus died once. But the Hebrew letter says something different. The Hebrew letter says this, chapter 6, verse 4 and 6. For it is possible for those who were once enlightened, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. For since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. It's like crucifying Christ all over again, spitting on his cross, when we know the truth and we choose to walk away from it. When we take ourselves back into the world, like old Demas took him back into the world. Hebrews chapter 10 says this at verse 26, if we sin willfully, we no longer, after having received the knowledge of the truth, then there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins. Might as well not even be a cross. Might as well not even be a crucifixion. Might as well not even be a Messiah, a Christ, if we know the truth and still walk away from it, as some have done. Jesus died once, but we can crucify him all over again for ourselves in the process. What are you saying to God about Jesus today? Those people back yonder said, crucify, crucify, when they should have been saying, crucify me, crucify me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. For I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I heard a song years ago, it should have been me. And it was a country western type of song, but a gospel-oriented country song that spoke words, true words, that it should have been me on that cross, not him. It should have been me. We all could say that because we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. I can only imagine what that bunch gathered on Pentecost when they heard Peter preach. And he says, therefore let all the house of Israel know that this, surely that God has made this Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Can you imagine what they thought, how they felt? Sure we can, because a lot of them said, men and brethren, what must we do? Same thing for us today. If you're not a Christian, what must you do? Become a Christian. Following the steps of the parts, or whatever you want to call it, the actual obeying or obedience to the gospel of Christ, believing, confessing, repenting, being baptized, all those things we talked about this morning. As a Christian, if you've walked away a little too far from God, then you need to come back, repent. Time's available for you again this afternoon. If that's you, would you come? Would you do that while we stand together, while we sing the chosen song?